Welcome to the show.
I'm Mikey.
And it's your girl, Zayday.
We are two social justice warriors dedicated to dismantling systems of oppression through a black queer feminist lens.
Yes, this podcast will cover a variety of topics ranging from politics in our country to which new bop you can twerk to.
Yep, and while we're twerking, y'all can start following. Search Black to the Future on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Join in the conversation.
And don't forget to leave positive reviews for us on your streaming platform.
Yes, please leave positive reviews. With the reach of this podcast, we desire to change the world one episode at a time.
Yep, and I think it's time we get started, don't you think?
Yep, let's get it.
The past is gone. The present is an adventure. Looks like it's time to go black to the future. Cue the theme music.
Yeah. So proud of what we see. We hope you're listening. Oh, we wanna fill you up with the real tea. Bridge the gap and show you what we see. So go on, spread the word. Tell them what you heard.
Everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of Black to the Future podcast. Woo! We are black again, and it is June, so that means it is officially Pride Month. Yes, we love some pride. And if y'all remember, we had an episode about Pride last year and the importance of Pride. So if you don't remember that episode, you can go back and listen to it. Let me see. Pride. The powerful purpose of Pride. Can you tell I like alliteration? The powerful purpose of Pride. That is episode number 34. So that was me and Mab, of course, having a conversation about why pride is important and such and so forth. So please go back and listen to that episode, episode 34, The Powerful Purpose of Pride. So I love everyone that's going to be celebrating Pride. Remember what Pride actually is about. Remember to be thinking about it in the sense of remembering that we have come from a place where we are sitting and we are oppressed still, but we have grown and we have moved and we have shown there is should be no shame. I think a lot of the times that people who are in positions of power, whether they know it or not, or they are not conscious to it, they don't want us to be proud of who we are. They want us to be shamed and have guilt about it and be upset and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, girl, no, be proud of it. If you own it, if you are believe in it and you know, that kind of stuff, you'll be proud. Like, I know it's not easy for everyone, and I'm not encouraging everyone to, you know, jump out the closet or whatever the case may be. If you're not in a safe area, please don't do so, but I'm going to be proud of myself. You know, you don't, what is the name of the TV show? One Life to Live? Honey, it's that. I've got one life to live. I'm going to be proud of myself. So, and if you're an authentic ally to the LGBTQIA+ community, that means that you should be supporting us through anything and everything, even when it's not just Pride. So get ready to see all the rainbows. Get ready to see all the commercials. Get ready to see all the ads about like, oh, we really inclusive. We really love y'all. And it's only like that for like 30 days out of the year. And then the rest of it, they just like, no, we're going to keep taking away your rights. Those kids, they don't know that they're trans. You know, you can't say gay in Florida. Like, girl, right? So they're gonna keep taking away rights, but you're gonna say, like, we love y'all, however, comma, you know, they want to put parameters around when it doesn't fit nice and neatly into their little box of cis heteronormativity. So, you know, be proud of who you are if you're able to. Show it and express it if you're able to. Pride is a beautiful thing, and I love it so much. If you go to a parade, please go and take care of yourself. Again, go back and listen to that episode. I think it said it was 34. We give advice about what to do during a pride celebration and a pride parade, and some of our stories and some of our antics from our past. But child, I ain't going to nobody parade. I'm too old for that. That's a young girl's game. I'm going to sit on the sidelines and watch it, be like, yay! But yes, happy Pride Month. And then, of course, in a few weeks, it'll be Juneteenth. So, of course, more celebration and for marginalized people, specifically for Black people. So we also had a Juneteenth episode, a few episodes actually after the Powerful Pride episode. So the Juneteenth episode is episode 36. So if you want to know and learn more about Juneteenth, please go back and listen to that episode. So Powerful Purpose of Pride and Juneteenth, episodes 34 and 36 respectively. But I am here to talk about recent events. By the time you hear this, is going to be a few weeks too late, but you know, better late than never. But there has been some things in the internets, in the webs, a whole bunch of stuff where we just continue to talk about the things that are important to this podcast. Remember, this podcast focuses and centers on Black folks. And then we also focus on LGBTQIA plus people. And we also focus on femmes and women. And so we want to focus on those marginalized communities, you know, and that's because that's our experiences. I'm sure there are other podcasts and other shows and other content creators out there who talk about other marginalized communities that I'm not a part of. For example, those who are differently abled or disabled, if they identify that way, or, you know, Native folks, indigenous folks and those connections and things like that, Latinx folks, you know, those and AFAB people, because no one on this show who hosts it, shout out to Matt, by the way, we're not AFAB people. We speak up for them, we help to support them, but we can't speak for them in entirety. So, you know, if you're interested in those, please search for those podcasts, those shows, those content creators. They out there making it for what? The free. But I want to talk about the things that have been in our community for the past couple of weeks. This title of this episode is called AD3 because, again, I like alliteration. So we have the Auntie Diaries, which I'm sure y'all are familiar with at this point. At least I would hope so, especially if you're a Black person. Especially if you're a Black queer person, especially if you're a Black trans person, I feel like you should have heard this by now. It's a song that by Kendrick Lamar that I wanted to talk about. And in this song, let me say this first. I don't really listen to Kendrick Lamar like that. I'm not really into male rappers like that. It's a lot of degradation of women, particularly Black women, and you know they only rap about, you know, money, sex, and drugs. Like, they don't really have anything else going for them, at least to me. I don't know. I feel like there's so much, and that's why I love Nicki Minaj so much, because her raps were never really always about that. When she first became mainstream, it became a little bit more interesting, but these niggas rap about the same three things on the same beats, and everybody be living for it. I'm like, girl, no. But I always knew that Kendrick Lamar had a different sound, a different vibe, a different energy. Even though I didn't listen to his music like that, I knew that he had a different vibe, a different energy. And so with that being said, this most recent album, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, that Kendrick has just released, it has a track on it called Auntie Diaries, which is about how Black people, and particularly Black cishet men, have interacted with the concept of gender identity as it pertains to their family members, which is a very important conversation. Very, 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 very important conversation. So within our community as Black people, we have discussed many times how the out of sight, out of mindness of being a queer person, particularly being a trans person, is preferable. We don't know what to do with it. We haven't been educated around it. We don't want to talk about it. And that's because we have a lot more other things on the forefront, like racism, which I'll be getting to in another section in a moment. But we have a lot of things to be worried about. But the caveat is, and the catch is, we're not only Black. There's other factors that come in with our identities, in addition to socioeconomic status, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're AFAB or AMAB, whether you're trans or cis, whether you're gay or straight, you know, there's so much extraness involved in there. And because Black people haven't had the time and the privilege to be afforded to think about those things in great depth, for them to be thinking about queerness and transness on a high intellectual level, no, it just don't be happening. The everyday regular degular hood nigga is not thinking about this. The everyday regular degular Black mother who is raising her children by herself, she ain't thinking about this. You know, there's so much to be thinking about, and survivability is at the forefront of that. So when people come and we say like, oh, we're queer in addition to being Black, oh, we're trans in addition to being Black, it's like, well, why would you go do that? This shit already hard enough as it is. But they don't understand that nobody made that choice. We already know. Y'all have made it clear from the gate. And so I just wanted to commend Kendrick Lamar for taking this step as a lot of people revere him as like the one right now, as far as like Black men who rap and stuff like that. They like revere him, like he's the one. So I applaud him for being the one to take this step to say, this is my experience and these are the things that I feel. Now, this has been very polarizing in the queer community at large, because once again, being queer and being Black, or being trans and being Black, are not monolithic. They're not, you know, they're not mutually exclusive. And so what I'm finding is that a lot of queer white people, or even some cis gay Black men or trans white people, they have a huge issue with some of the words that he uses in there. And of course, he uses the F word. And Mab and I have discussed, we already hate the F word, the F slur for queer people, particularly towards AMAB queer people. He uses that language. And he also misgenders and dead names Caitlyn Jenner. And so, do I condone that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Let me be clear. I do not condone him using any foul language against our community, any negative slurs. And I do not condone or appreciate him misgendering even someone like Caitlyn Jenner, despite her politic being questionable at times. So I don't condone that. I do not appreciate that. I do not like that. However, comma, again, when you have more intersecting identities and you have a very critical thought process behind how you think about things, you can see past what he's going after. He's telling a story. He's specifically telling the story about how he watched his trans uncle now develop and grow right before his eyes. He's talking about it in hindsight when he's watching who used to be his auntie now become this uncle. It was a twist. It was something. And he uses the language. This is very important. This is why this is a Black issue. This is why, like trans white people, we don't really need y'all 2 cents on this, because y'all upset about misgendering and dead naming and using the F words. Girl, Black people, we already have that. We just talked about those intersections. And the other stuff we got to deal with. We're not concerned about that. This is the storytelling. This is how it works. Because this is the language that niggas will use in conversation. He's forcing them to talk about it. They're going to be like, ooh, did you hear that new Kendrick Lamar joint? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. How you feel about Auntie Diaries, though? And they're going to have the conversation. And I just talked about how cis black heterosexual men, they ain't finna sit up here and just talk with the highly intellectual, be like, oh, cisgender and heterosexual. They're not gonna use that language. They don't have access to that language the way that I use it all the time. They don't have that higher academia just off rip. It's just not how it is. And Kendrick Lamar's demographic, who he is aiming to target to his music so they can make so the product can sell, is those men, so they can have this conversation. It's further normalizing it, because every single person is related to or connected to some trans person at some capacity. So he's forcing them to have a conversation about it. Even if they're avoiding it in a conversation, they're thinking about it. It's perfectly well done. Not that they finna be bumping this joint in the club or nothing like that. Or you finna be driving around the hood and hear somebody car like pushing this song out. But it's forcing them to have a conversation about it. Whether it be internal or external, they're having a conversation about it. And I appreciate him for that. This is the language that niggas will use. They'll be like, they'll use the F word because that's just what they've been taught their whole life. Is it right? Is it good? No, but that's the language they've been using their whole life. They'll say things like, oh, you know, she used to be a man, or he used to be a woman, or whatever. They will use that language because that's what's readily available to them. The idea of using proper language and things like that is preferable. But it's not in their grasp inherently. We don't teach that. And why do we not teach that? Because we want people to not say gay in school. We don't believe trans people when they say who we say we are. Y'all don't believe us. And so this is a perfect way to do so. I like how he talks about it, how he grew it over time. He also talked about how his cousin, who I know plenty of my cousins who probably have talked about me in some capacity when I'm not in their presence, and they're trying to figure out how my identity now intertwines with theirs and what that means and da-da-da-da-da and all that kind of stuff. It's targeting exactly who it's targeting, is my point. It's not for trans white people. It's not, because y'all got bent out of shape about him dead naming Caitlyn Jenner. We knew what he meant as black people. And then he using the F word. Did I like it? No, but this is the language that they use. And so this, because using the language that we would use in higher academia would just further separate them from the concept of understanding what transness is. I'm not saying by any means that black people are less intelligent. I'm not saying by any means that black cishet men specifically are less intelligent. But these are the men who are literally avoiding us at all costs, or they're having intimate relationships with us. And then when they can't process how they feel because they have no one that's talking about it out loud, they implode on themselves and then they explode and then they may kill one of the girls. Straight like that. So I appreciate him having this conversation. Is there better ways for it to be done? Yes, but he planted some seeds. He started some conversations. It was on Twitter. It didn't trend on Twitter like I thought it was going to give. But, you know, there's a couple wise jokes, there's some cracks on Twitter and da-da-da-da-da. Of course, there always is. But the point is, that's the track everybody's talking about. So I'm going to play a snippet of Auntie Diaries. Really mellow, real chill. We're going to go out to a break. And I want y'all to listen to the whole thing. It's about a 4.5-minute song. It's a good little 1, 2, 3. And really get into those words, get into those lyrics. Again, this is for a specific audience. Specific. So here's a little bit of it, and I'm gonna go and fade it out into the break, and then we'll come right back with our next topic. But Auntie Diaries, Kendrick Lamar, thank you for producing this and creating this. You know, this is gonna change a lot of thoughts and perceptions and galvanize some conversations, particularly for the black community, for which I appreciate as a trans person. So thank you. Here we go.
Is a man now. I think I'm old enough to understand now. Drinking Parmesan with her hat turned backwards. Motorola Pager off-white guest jacket. Blue Air Maxes, gold chains and curl kits. 93 Nissan wax drive the earliest. Big social, big personality, vocal. Played the underground verbatim and stayed local. My auntie is a man now. I watch a man and his girl hold their hands down, tipping the avenues on the streetlights made his. Thinking I won't be a bad bitch when I get big. They hug on the corner like California came cold. Hand all of us girl cars whistling down the road. See, my auntie is a man now. Slight bravado. Scratching the likes from Lotto. Hoping that she pull up tomorrow so I can hang out in the front seat. 6x9s keeping the music up under me. My auntie is a man now.
Okay, we are back. Please check out Auntie Diaries. I guess you can listen to the whole Kendrick Lamar album if you want to. I'm not. But you can if you want to, girl. That was the only track that I really was invested in. Like I said, I'm not really here for Kendrick like that. It was pertinent to our podcast and the work that I do, so I wanted to talk about it. So go listen to it. It's a cute little song. Anyway, racism. She's alive and well. So I was flying back from Florida, you know, the penis, the dick of the United States, the unwashed dick of the United States. And I was coming back from Harry Potter World with some of my girlfriends. Shout out to Jenny, Florence, Cindy. We had a nice time. And even though I do not support or believe in J.K. Rowling and her transphobic ideologies, the people that still work at Harry Potter and the people who have created it and made it into what it is, it goes so much further beyond her at this point. And those people had nothing to do with her transphobia, so they need a place to work. They need to make their coins. I'm going to support them. Hello. Anyway, it was a cute time at Universal Studios, except it was hot. It was hot. And the other thing, when I was down there, it was so many different people from so many different parts of the world. Like, I never heard so many languages. I guess they call it universal for a reason, baby. And let me tell you, there was so much fish in there that was taller than me. I just want to be unequivocally clear. I felt so petite. I felt so cute. I felt so kind. I felt so puss, girl. I was like, ooh. Because it was people from, like, you know, Eastern Europe who were, like these girls that were, like, 6 feet tall. And I was just like, oh, me so little. I love it. Because trust me, sometimes I'd be standing with my girlfriends and I'd be like, oh, Lord, I look like a Goliath. Like, I don't like this. But I felt kind of cute standing next to some of these women. And I was like, yes, I'm pushing through with this. I feel good. I love this girl. Anyway, that's not the point of this segment, but I was coming back from Florida having an exquisite time learning all the special incantations in Harry Potter's Wizarding World and bought all kinds of stuff. And I really had a great time. And it all came to a nice screeching halt on the 14th of May when, of course, the timelines got flooded with the news about Buffalo, about this boy, this racism, this neo-Nazi, Peyton Gengron or whatever the fuck this baby name is. Y'all done heard about it, about Buffalo. It's been a few weeks, so y'all done heard about it. I don't even want to spend too much time on it. Now, I know a lot of white people will be like, oh, no, you know, we're not racist like that. We just rather stop you from getting rights and privileges. We don't want to kill you. We just want to stop you from getting the same rights and privilege. I think for me, the biggest thing about this is, and this is why we need critical race theory in school. I feel like white people are so afraid to feel bad. Like, I think that a lot of white people think that them feeling bad about something is equivalent to how we end up getting treated in this country. You know what I mean? I think that they, like, they be like, oh, I just feel bad. I can't say this anymore, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, otherwise that's offensive. And, you know, it's like, I don't need you to feel bad, Karen. I don't need you to feel bad, Jacob. I don't need you to feel bad. You know, Suzanne, I don't need you to feel bad about it. What I need you to do is start recognizing Black people's humanity and equals to you. There's a nice collective, hence why we use the words white supremacy. Even though, of course, as Demetrius said, there's no such thing as whiteness being supreme, but maybe they want to make sure that it is. There's like this inherent, like, I'm better than you. I have more value than you. It's just embedded into the culture so much. And they may not feel that way. They may not see it that way off rip, but it's just so embedded and it's always been fortified. I feel like we're just now getting to a place where I'm not seeing white people on commercials or TV as much anymore. Just now getting to the place, and probably like the last 5 years or so, it's become like this thing, especially after the George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Black Lives Matter marches of 2020. I've seen less white people on TV I have in my whole life. And I think they just shook by it. Like, we don't see ourselves on TV. We're not being represented. We're feeling like less than. And it's funny how it's like, y'all got all the history of, I don't know, everything. And y'all haven't seen, felt represented. Y'all feel like someone's taken over. I'm just like, but y'all still holding government. Y'all still hold the majority of the power. Y'all still got all these things. This little boy can go into this to this grocery store in a black neighborhood and shoot people and walk out alive. Girl, that's just the white privilege. And my thing about it is there's nothing wrong with having white privilege. This is the part where you have to do something with it. And just so because someone says that you have it, you get to break down into a tizzy and be like, oh, I don't have it. I don't even be mean. I don't go out and shoot people and stuff. But by deflecting and not owning up to it, not having conversations about it and stuff like this, this is how 18-year-old boys can get automatic machine guns and go and start shooting black people at a fucking supermarket who just trying to go and get some damn groceries. Like, that is crazy to me that you can just walk in, shoot up a bunch of people, and then just walk out, and they just gonna just arrest you, and then you gonna plead not guilty after you have been plotting and planning and scheming this for months at a time, and then you tried to stream it, and you streamed it on Twitch? You streamed it, and you still said you're not guilty. Girl, make it make sense. Like, they done went and praised and did backflips and stunts and screamed and hollered for Kyle Rittenhouse when he shot those people at the riots and everything like that. It's baffling to me. Baffling that they just feel so empowered to go do something. And his messaging was that white people are going to become like less than or subordinate of some sort, which leads me to believe that you fully understand how it is to be treated as a minority in this country. That readily tells me that you recognize the fact that how that black people and other marginalized people are treated not fairly in this country, and you don't want to be treated that way. So rather than do that, rather than try to make change so that black people can be treated equitably, you rather just kill us to reduce the numbers. Girl, I this is the kind of stuff that white people be like, oh, you're being so, no, because y'all are these white mothers and these white fathers that enable these boys that get to go out here and be like, yes, guns and everything. I'm like, we just need to get rid of them. Girl, it needs to be so difficult for, I think it should be very difficult to get a gun. All T. I don't think they should be gone because people don't know how to fucking act. And people always think the answer is to strap up. Like, strap up, protect yourself out there. Why do I need to strap up to go to the grocery store? To go to the fucking grocery store. Why do I need to strap up to do that? Why do I need to strap up to go to the bank to drop my child off at daycare? I shouldn't have to live in that kind of fear. How come I just can't maneuver from one place to the next and get to live my life freely, comfortably, and openly? Something about my happiness and your despair. Your despair apparently outweighs my happiness. So that means my light has to go out because you're not happy with what you got going on. And you get to just walk away and just be like, whatever. And plead not guilty. Girl, I can't, it's baffling. And I just can't believe this child live streamed it. Like, this was a video game. Like, it was a fucking video game. The math is not mathing. I just shot all those people. And it just make you just not want to leave your house. It make you want to stay in the house, just order your groceries, order Uber Eats, you know, Postmates or whatever your tea is, girl, and just not leave the house. Remote work from home all the time. Choose. It's, I don't know. I have too many intersecting identities that people do not care for. For me to try to feel less comfortable. But it somehow, I always manage, y'all, white people always manage to make it happen. And no, I don't want to be talking about it. It's, y'all need to have these conversations. Y'all so worried about being uncomfortable. I feel like, and I think I might have seen this on TikTok at some point, but I feel like white people's discomfort with stuff gives them ability and agency to make decisions that black people could only dream of. If we had discomfort and we were upset, we would be labeled as angry and malicious and villainous and horrible and all that kind of shit. But this child had the same energy, disgruntled, and all this kind of stuff, just because people are existing around him. And he just gets to just express it, knock out and take out people, and then just get gallivanted off. And it's crazy to me. This is, and you know, that I don't get why they don't want to be uncomfortable. It just tells me that they just readily recognize the fact that people are being mistreated in this country and they haven't done enough to stop it. If I'm old enough to experience racism as a child, then the people who are inflicting the racism should be old enough to know what racism is. Straight like that. It's crazy. Unarmed black men are getting killed. Unarmed black women are getting killed. LGBTQ+ people are being tortured and killed. But a cishet white boy with, you know, on top of the world. That's the thing. He has nothing to lose. Nothing to lose, and yet wants to lose it all. Make it make sense. Nothing to lose. The world was generated and created for you in the space that you were thriving in. But you took it and you shitted on it. And you still get to live and be happy and content. Girl, it's a mess. Well, my condolences to those families. And everyone affected. Black people, please take care of yourself. And call out the racism. White people, I'm challenging you to call out the racism. I've had it. I've had it with y'all. I genuinely have. Y'all get to skate and be cute and just coast by and be like, ooh, I don't want to ruffle the feathers. Ruffle them. It's too late now. They talking about they done found some monkey pox and some other shit. I'm just... And they said they saw a flying object or something in the sky a few days ago or something like that. I'm like, girl, just cancel it. Cancel the subscription. Cancel. We don't need Earth Plus. We don't need it. Just cancel her, girl. Just cancel it. But I don't even know what's about to happen with that child. He needs to. I don't see. I'm about to get ugly. I'd be like, give him the death penalty, but that's evil. I don't want to do that. Just let him not be able to post bail. Just lock him up for the remainder of forever. Let him sit cute. Put him in a jail with a bunch of black people. So when he get in there, they can wear him out. They'll probably put him in a special sale, girl, because they know them niggas will wear him out if he get up inside that jail. Lord have mercy. Y'all gonna have to step it up. And get used to it. Y'all not the center of the world. It's other people on this bitch. Anyway, We are going to go to the next section, and this last one's going to be humorous to me, at least. We'll see how it goes. But again, my condolences to those families that lost their loved ones. Anyone who's in the hospital that's injured, you know, please sue this family. Do whatever you got to do. Get your revenue. Get your coins. Make them pay for as much as you can make them motherfucking pay for. I know it's not going to bring back your loved ones or make your life back to what it probably used to be before this incident happened. But get your coins, girl. Anyway, so let's go to this next section. And fuck racism. Straight like that. All right. We're in this last section. And this one is interesting, question mark. And so this one is specifically, again, about trans people, specifically about trans women and trans femmes. But before I get into that, real quick, this is about pregnancy. So if anything about pregnancy triggers you at all or anything like that, please click away. I thank you for listening to this part, but, you know, this is about pregnancy. And if you're having any trauma or anything around that, anything that I've said so far, if you listen to this whole episode to this point and not traumatized, good. But if you're... I'm sorry in advance, but this is about pregnancy. So I want to shout out to all AFAB trans people who have children, non-binary AFAB people who have carried and had children, and trans masculine folks and trans men who have had children. I really would love to get a trans man who's had a child on the show. Maybe I'll make that happen soon. I would live for that. That would be my tea. Particularly if they were Black. So a couple come to mind. So I'm just like, Anyway, there has been always a little bit of a twinkle and a twinge of, I guess, jealousy for those folks, even for cis women, of course, because they have the power to carry out pregnancy and children and stuff like that. And as a trans woman, I know that's not something I'm going to ever have the magical privilege of, even though I already have, you know, like my little gay babies that call me mother and stuff like that. But, you know, that's something I definitely always wanted to be, as someone's wife and somebody's mother, not discounting for all the other successes that I will have in tandem with that, because I'm Queen Mother Beyonce. I could do everything just like she can, point blank, period. What she's saying, I work my 9 to 5 and clock my check, you know, that. And then she's like, then get back to business, strong enough to bear the children, then get back to business. Like, yeah, I'm very that. So I always wanted to be somebody's wife and mother. And I know as a trans woman, that doesn't always mean giving birth in the traditional sense. But there are definitely trans women who are mothers because, you know, they did partner with a trans masculine person or with a cis woman and they're a lesbian couple or whatever their identities are. But, you know, I know it's possible, but, you know, I know there's a certain... not only magic that I, you know, see in my brain, and, you know, that's me not having the ability to have children, but in my brain, I feel like there's some magical thing about having children. It's like, you know, the portal of life, you know, it's crazy. It's magical. It's, so there's that. However, of course, even when trans women who elect to or have the ability to and can afford to, more importantly, to undergo SRS, sexual reassignment surgery, or gender affirmation surgery, you know, GAS, you know, gas. you know, bless those girls who can do that. I'm on the fence about it. I'm still like, I might give it a few more years. I don't know what my tea is going to be in a few years. I don't know. But, of course, there's been all kinds of speculation and conversations around trans women who have undergone that procedure, who can potentially be implanted with a child and carry out a pregnancy and a birth. Now, that is a gag. Without having, of course, the fallopian tubes and all those kind of things. You know, I don't know all the science. And I ain't no scientist, so I ain't gonna try to even sit up and try to explain to you how that would even go. It sounds like a lot of surgery, and it sounds like a lot of pain. You know, I'm just not, you know, that sounds like way too much. I'm like, if Jesus wanted me to be able to push the kids out in that kind of way, she would have made a way for it to happen, but that ain't happened. So here we are. But I don't think, for me, that would be my tea. But there's a doctor. What is this baby's name? I'm not going to be able to pronounce this correctly, but I'm going to try. Dr. Narendra Kushik, maybe. A New Delhi surgeon hopes to carry out the first uterine transplant into a trans woman. Well, wear it out, baby. Do what you need to do. He said, this is the future. The way towards this is a uterine transplant, the same way as a kidney or any other transplant. See, you know, I am always amazed and baffled by how science works. You know, on TikTok, they were showing how someone performed a hysterectomy, and I was like, I wanted to watch it, but I couldn't because I'm so squeamish, and I'd be like, I can't look, but I want to look. I'm that girl. Like, I'm looking between my fingers and like, I don't know. It just feels weird. Like, I applaud any kind of doctor or surgeon. Like, that's always baffling to me. But he's on the cutting edge of doing stuff like this. And literally cutting. Lots of cutting, baby. You know, the cutting edge of doing this kind of stuff. And, you know, that's great. Any girl who wants to go undergo that and, you know, go ahead and get her puss. And then, you know, maybe a few years later, get her, you know, the kids are coming out younger and younger and younger. So it could be feasible. But, you know, if somebody was to ask me if I was going to do that, hell no. No. It's not going to be perfected. It's not going to be ready in my lifetime. I don't think. I don't care how much technology has advanced. I'm not going to do that. And even if they were like, it's perfect in 20 years, no, girl. No. No. We not doing it. Not me. Any other girl who got the funds? Because the first thing you need to do is get the puss and a good solid pussy to purchase, Miss Thing, running up to 50K. And the bill's probably, and you know, I mean, I know some insurances cover pieces of it or cover whole parts of it and stuff like that. But for the girls who ain't got it, that's a good 50K, mama. And then you're going just to even get it probably implanted in you, you probably have to wait until your body completely calms down. Probably, you know, 3 to 5 years later. So if you get your puss in like 25 and you ready to have a child at 30 and it's perfected, mama, wear it out. Do what you gonna do, sis. It's not for me. My brain is like, would you rather do it the old fashioned way? Oh no. Full disclosure, we can't even get our alert that no more. Baby. Maybe. If it was a nice trans masculine person that we done got together and we like we figured out that we wanna have a cute baby and do a cute 1, 2, 3 and wear it out like that, you know what? I would get off the moans for a hot second so we can get pregnant, and then after that I might have to get back on my moans, Miss Thing. I would actually no, that probably wouldn't be right because the trans masculine person will have to be off moans too. I guess we'll have to have that conversation when we get that. So if it's a nice trans masculine person out there that is interested in being a nice husband and a father and all that kind of stuff, choose. I'm up for an unconventional relationship. This is my life. I'm used to it at this point now, honey. So there's that. And then while we're talking about trans masculine people who are pregnant, there was on Fox Soul, so Fox, that's giving warning, danger, it's giving that right away. But there's a show, Fox Soul, and they have some people that come on there and speak. I don't know the man name off top of my head, but I think it was like a gay black man who was talking about how trans men who elect to have children are seen as less of men. And I'm just like, see, this is y'all issue. Y'all want to figure out exactly what a man is and exactly what a woman is and keep it in these tight, neat little boxes. And anyone who don't fit inside those tight, neat little boxes, their chop for you. And that's not how life goes, because you're using the same rhetoric and the same ideology that cishet black niggas be using against you to be saying, like, you're not really a man because you fucking another man. You fucking another niggas. Like, you ain't really a man. You ain't about it. Like, you want to move the goalpost. Why are you moving the goalpost? Because somebody else has to have a harder time. That's not being an ally. And this is what I mean when I talk about cis gay black men or cis queer men. They like to play. They'll play and be like, oh, well, I'm not transphobic because X, Y, and Z. But girl, you are, though, because you want to play like that. If there is a if there is a trans man or an AFAB trans person who wants to have children, let them have children. That's their body. You trying to, again, control and curate how somebody can use their body. It's giving very massage noir. It's giving very trans misogyny. It's giving trans sexism. It's giving very that miss thing. But anyway, so I just wanted to say that. But I don't know what that baby's name is who was up there talking that mess, but I think it was a cis gay black man. And they, again, they'll play in your face if that were to happen. But as far as that, as far as pregnancy for trans women go, whoever want to elect to do that, let these white girls go first. No shade. But let the white girls go first. Let them go ahead and deal with that mess, you know, since they so upset about a lot of other stuff. Let them be the first to go out there and get that done. Let the black girls live. We done passed away enough. We done been murdered in our lives, been taken away enough for bullshit. Y'all go ahead and y'all run those experiments on those girls for a hot minute. But anyway, maybe in the future, maybe in 100, 200 years, there'll be trans women, you know, pushing out the babies just like cis women and other AFAB people. But anyway, that's been this episode. Thank y'all so much for listening and tuning in to this episode. Auntie Diaries, angry delinquents and advancing deliveries. You know, there's so much craziness and so much madness in this world. And if we can just really just pull it together, Jesus, I would really love that. Because what the fuck are we fighting for? Like, legit. Like, what the fuck are we fighting for? Somebody make it make sense. The math is not mathing. Please like, subscribe, share, comment, review. We love all of those things. Leave 5 stars and all that kind of stuff. It would be so greatly appreciated. Our podcast has been doing very well, and shout out to everyone who's been listening, particularly people who are overseas. Y'all been turning it a little bit more than I would have been expecting, so weird out. I love y'all. Shout out to y'all. And thank you to all my lovely guests who have been on the show. Thank y'all also for listening to, all the solo episodes like this one. I try to get guests on the show and I try to have my lovely co-host, but you know, sometimes life just happens and I'm the girl that's going to keep rolling with the punches and let that shit just roll off like water off a duck's back. So anyway, I continue to stream, continue to listen, tune in, send us ideas for different topics. Happy Pride, and we love you. Black Lives Matter. Black Trans Lives Matter. Thank you. Mwah.
Thank you all so much for tuning into Black to the Future.
Yes, thank you for joining us. And if you want to continue the conversation with us, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Black to the Future Podcast.
And don't forget to use the hashtag Black to the Future Podcast as well. Share the content and please leave positive reviews.
Yeah, all that. And we will see y'all in the future.
Don't you mean Black to the Future?
Oop, I guess you're right. We'll see y'all Black to the Future.